the book I read.
Woohoo!
What's that mean? It's that time of the month.
I was like, I don't understand your question. It's always that time of the month. Yay! It's the Get Lit monthly happy hour book club show.
Woo, woo, woo.
Second Monday of the month at 4:30 on KDNK.
So easy to remember. Second Monday of the month at 4:30.
It only took me a couple months to remember that.
Couple times I showed up at 4, didn't I? Or like
thinking, you're like, oh shoot, it's today, and I'm like, are you gonna come?
Yeah, so here we are.
Yay.
This is Ape on the Dink.
And this is Erin Go Book.
Hey, Book.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. It's like a spring day out there. It's awesome.
Oh, my goodness. It is very
nice. A little
nice.
Breezy, but super nice. The sun's out. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I went for a nice walk this afternoon.
Awesome.
Got outside a little bit.
Yay.
So, yeah. Here we are. We do have a book, but we also have something to say.
We certainly do. Support for Get Lit and KDNK comes from Carbondale Beer Works, offering handcrafted microbrew and local seasonal food 7 days a week. Open 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Sunday through Thursday and until midnight on Friday and Saturday. Beer Works hosts bingo for mobility tomorrow night starting at 7. More info at Carbondale Beer Works on Facebook.
Very cool. And we have so many things to talk about. We have a book to talk about, believe it or not. We read a book. We listened to a book.
Some of us read. Some of us listened. It's all good.
It's all
maybe
good.
Some of us read Cliff Notes. It's okay. No judgment. I've been so busy lately. I'm like, no judgment. So it's okay.
No judgment. So the book we read and or listened to was The Nickel Boys. It was written in 2019. It's a novel by American novelist and writer Colson Whitehead. It was based on the real story of the, do you say Dozer?
Dozier?
I think it's Dozer. I think it's Dozer.
That sounds like the American way to say it.
I can say that is one thing about when you listen to a book, you get the correct pronunciation, which is funny.
We've talked about this before. Okay, fine. So you get the... Okay, so Dozer. And it was a reform school in Florida that operated for 111 years and had its history exposed by the university's investigation. They came to find out there was a huge... unmarked graveyard in the back of the school where fatalities happened and they just disappeared without anybody having to worry about them.
Yeah.
Claimed as runaway boys.
Yeah. Gross. So this is what as they refer to as historical fiction, because the characters in the book are fictional, but they're based on what really did occur.
Yeah.
And believe me, if you haven't read this, you're going to get I want to give out a huge spoiler alert, because it's one of those books that even right now when Book and I were talking about it before we started, and I said, oh, that twist was amazing. And she's like, what twist?
Well, I lost my notes, and you know how I am. I'm so lost without my notes. I spent like a few days composing them, and they're still on my desktop somewhere.
I hate that.
No. It's okay, though. It's okay. As you're reminding me, I also found it, for some reason, it wasn't a hard read, but I don't know. It wasn't super easy for me to kind of comprehend the flow of events that were happening. And I don't know why that quite was.
Oh, that is interesting.
Maybe it was the time of day. I was reading before bed a lot. So maybe I was just not quite awake enough to put things together. Because I would be like, wait, what's happening?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, it was written a little strict because it's one of those books that has a narrator, basically,
right,
telling the story. And it kind of jumps around from when...
Time periods.
Yeah. The narrator's young to... then they kind of will hit on what's happening right now. And yeah, so it did kind of jump
sense,
around
it
a little bit.
It kind of reminds me of Moonlight. Did you see that movie?
Moonlight. Oh,
it kind of jumps
I
around
not.
Like that. So it starts with him being a young boy and then through adolescence and then being adult. And kind of like this book, because it started off, you figure out what's going on. This young boy is wrong place at the wrong time. He's hitching a ride to a school to take a test.
He's
a smart
really
kid.
Smart kid. He... never is in trouble, has a job, is being raised by his grandmother because his mom and dad took off,
right,
but he's doing the right things at the right time, and he gets, he's in advanced placement classes or, whatever.
Right.
And then he gets accepted into, it's kind of going college classes, even though he was in high school.
Right.
So I think it was the very first day that he's going to this, he decides he's going to hitchhike because it's set back in... Oh my
gosh.
The 60s.
Yeah.
And he's African American. So, they definitely touch on all of that, kind of racism.
Right.
But so he's hitching a ride, and it ends up the guy that picks him up had stolen a car. So he gets in trouble for car theft.
Simply because of the color of his skin,
yeah,
quite honestly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. And this was in Florida, if we didn't mention that.
And so he's sent to this reform school, and he had not done anything. But he's a good kid, so he's like, oh, it'll be fine. It's a school. I do well in school. I'm just going to do my time, and everything will be okay. And it was far from okay, that's for sure.
Yeah, it was really sad. Treated, like, you know, horribly. I don't even want to say like animals. Less than animals should be treated much better than the way those poor boys were treated.
Yeah, it definitely.
Almost like prison.
Well, yeah, it was a prison. I mean, reform schools, I think, always like just a term for juvenile prison.
I just think that, I mean, I don't have any experience in this area, but I think that what we were finding out is things back in this day, the standards and the oversight maybe were not as strict as they are now, and bad things were happening at that time that hopefully I don't think they're, I don't know.
There's
strange things happen all the time, right?
Yeah. I was listening to a podcast and it was really interesting because it was like, and I can't remember the name of the podcast. If it pops back in my mind, I'll mention it. But it was basically they did a year in the justice system in Baltimore, and they talk about actually the juvenile facilities being way worse than the adult facilities. That they were following.
Really terrifying.
Yeah, they were following a gentleman that had been incarcerated as a kid, and he was talking about all the horrible things that happened in the juvenile system and how much he was so scared to go into the adult system. But when he did, actually that it was better than what was happening and that's really sad. I mean, if we, we can't take care of our kids in America. Well, I digress right there.
Yeah, but and one of the times I remember one of the parts of the book I do remember very vividly was he gets jumped very soon after he goes to the school. It's just kind of, you know, one of those things that unfortunately happens, and he gets beaten really, really badly, but he doesn't die and he lives and he's in the infirmary. Is that the?
That wasn't when he got jumped. They did that to him. They took him out to the shed.
Who's they?
Was
it the administration or the students?
That was the administration that did that to him to teach him, you know, kind of put him in his place that these are the things that'll happen to you.
So isn't that funny that they beat him almost to a bloody pulp and then put him in the hospital? And then they were like, okay, now we'll take care of you.
Yeah.
Like, just so that you know your life is in our hands.
Yeah. They took it. That was the thing is they had that shed. It had been, that was the cruel joke is that it had been an ice cream.
No, they called it the ice cream factory because you came out all bruised and your bruises were the colors of ice cream.
Okay. And they had like an industrial fan that covered the sounds while
the
kids beaten.
I was going to say, I feel like that's one of the quotes that I captured when I was reading the book. It was so terrible.
Hey, let's just take a minute. This is a happy hour. It is a happy hour book club show. So I know we're getting a real bummer. This book, I have to say, it's a good one. It's a good book. So don't take that.
Here. I found it really quick.
Okay.
So this was on page 69, if you by chance had the book. The beating room had a bloody mattress and a naked pillow that was covered instead by the overlapping stains from the mouths that had bit into it. The gigantic industrial fan that was the source of the roaring, the sound that traveled over the campus farther than the physics allowed. Its original home was in the laundry. In the summer, those old machines made an inferno. But after a period of reforms where the state made up new rules about corporal punishment, someone had the bright idea to bring him up here. Spatter on the walls where the fan had whipped up blood into a disgusting mess. There was a weird thing to the acoustics where the fan covered the boy's screams, but right next to it, you heard the staff's instructions perfectly. So the idea, that this huge industrial fan, as they were beating, it would cover your screams, but I could stand right next to you and give you the orders of keep on going. It's just so gross. It was when I read that about them biting the mattress and the stains from that, I just curled up in revolt.
It was a tough, there were things definitely that were a tough read about it. And, so Colson Whitehead also wrote, I think you and I both read, Underground Railroad.
That was before my time in our other
book
club.
Okay.
I heard it was great.
Yeah. So I just brought that up just in case you like, wow, that he sounds familiar. But, yeah, so let's do a little happy hour right here.
What are we drinking?
What are we drinking? Yeah, you know, it's hard. We often try to match our drink to what we're reading. This one, it couldn't really happen. It was about, but so
yeah.
I just grabbed a couple of really pretty sipping pretties. It's a fruited sour. And if you've never had a sour beer, I kind of like them. What do you think there, Buck?
I like them a lot, actually. I feel like I might have had them before, but very nice.
Yes.
A very light sour.
It's a very light sour, mm-hmm. and we're enjoying it. The can is beautiful. It's got little birds sipping on flowers. And a friend of mine, Natlin, came over at Christmas time, and she had them. And she said, oh, my gosh, I'd never had one of these. And she really enjoyed it also. So a little shout out there to Natlin, sipping pretty right now. Hey.
Yes.
We will go back to the book, but
yes.
in the meantime, because we're going to take a deep breath because yeah. it was a tough, you know,
yeah,
it's a
hearing
very
about
serious
that last yeah. little read there.
What else is going on here at KD&K right now?
I think there's a membership drive going on right now.
There is.
I know that I renewed my membership.
I renewed my membership.
Yes, we're both in the clear. Woo-hoo! We're both going to go to the exclusive.
I'd high five you, but
thank you, party of this. You hear jazz hands? Yeah, jazz hands.
There's a container.
Let's not even go there.
Clorox disinfecting.
I'm not even going to talk about any of that insanity. Anyway.
I was going to bring you a Corona, but I couldn't find any.
Anyway,
but yes, it is membership drive. Are you listening to Get Lit right now? You should call in and support. It would be amazing if we could get one phone call during this show.
It is a call-in show, even.
It is. I remember once we had a call-in. But if you could call 963-0139 and tell them in the office that you're listening to Get Lit and that you want to become a member, get your dog a membership, get your cat, your goldfish, your cell phone a membership. If you just called in at 963-0139 and mentioned Get Lit, it would be amazing.
There's some new t-shirts and hats over there, too.
There is.
They're pretty cool. There's a new design on the t-shirts.
And then there's going to be this really fun, super secret party only for members.
That we'll be at.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah, we're members. Yes. We're cool.
So we'll be at the party. That's like in a week, just a week and a half away.
Dang, it's coming up.
There's always all kinds of fun stuff. I mean, believe it or not, you actually get some perks by being a member. New t-shirts or stickers, the party. We just had a chili cook-off that was really fun, but it was members only, a movie night. So yeah, give us a call, 963-0139. Become a member, renew your membership, up your membership, mention Get Lit, and you'll be our friend forever.
Seriously, soft spot in our heart.
Yes.
And also support for Get Lit and KD&K comes from Carbondale Beer Works, presenting a fashion show after party with DJ Benny on Friday, starting at 9:30 and offering a St. Patrick's Day menu this Saturday. More information at Carbondale Beer Works on Facebook.
Oh, wow. All righty. Well, it is 9:45.
Wow. Maybe you've had enough of your sipping pretty.
You know what? I just looked up at the clock and the big hand was on the 9.
Yeah, that's the big hand is the minutes. Do you need a digital clock in here? One above
gosh.
You. Another thing that I found really interesting about Elwood's character. So the main character, his name is Elwood. And he references, he was very inspired and moved by Dr. Martin Luther King. And so he talks a lot about his speeches and references them. And there was a part of Dr. King's speech called The Defender that they talk about in here. And I marked that in the book as well. It was on page 172. And he said, "Throw us in jail and we will still love you. Bomb our homes and threaten our children. And as difficult as it is, we will still love you. Send your hooded perpetrators of violence into our communities after midnight hours and drag us out onto some wayside road and beat us and leave us half dead, and we will still love you. But be ye assured that we will wear you down by our capacity to suffer, and one day we will win our freedom."
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, Martin.
Just thinking of today's circumstances, you know, I think that Dr. Martin Luther King inspires so many. It's not like I'm an anomaly or anything, but just hearing his words today and how relevant they still were,
it makes me
yeah. sad yeah. how relevant they still are, but still extremely beautiful. And remembering, you know, that love trumps all, love trumps hate, and to not fight hate with more hate, and to, you know, we will withstand this and we will still be here.
Well, see, this is an interesting way to like go about this, what you just said. It says, Elwood says that both he and Yolanda King woke to the world or discovered racism at 6 years old. And so how old were you the first time you realized that there is racism in the world?
Wow, that's a good question. I don't know if I ever really... Racism wasn't a huge thing in the town I grew up in, but I feel like I was very aware of it. Even though my town was very white, I feel like my parents did a good job of when we would go on vacation for 2 weeks every year in the United States, and they would, you know, show me, we would see different films and things. And I think it was always an open conversation that I was very lucky to be who I am, and we respect and love everybody. We all come from different places. So it wasn't like a moment in time that hit me. It was just always an awareness that this is a thing and we don't act like that. We love everybody.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I think one of the times that I actually realized I'm from Orange County, California, and people make fun of Orange County as being a white bread society. In Southern California, they used to say that you live behind the orange curtain,
things like this.
And but it's so funny because I felt like I didn't really realize that there was differences in people. Sure, like you just said, I mean, I guess I came from a place that was mostly white, but mm-hmm. it didn't seem like the kids that weren't white were treated any different where I was from.
Right. There was a large Hispanic population where I came from. And same thing. We didn't. I mean, I loved going. They had like a Fiesta Days parade. And I love when like my classmates would bring like tamales and Christmas. And I was like, it was just never a thing that like it was just always very much embraced in my town.
But in a way, I think it's sad because then when you do hear about the way like in the South and different places that there is extreme racism, it's almost hard for myself actually to wrap my mind around it, which I feel is, you know, that white privilege.
Yeah.
Like we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
Right. What was the story that you told me about walking in front of a car? I want to hear that story. I do. I want to hear it.
Well, one of my very best friends is Jamaican and he came from Jamaica and he came to Florida when he was like 15 or 16 and now lives in Denver. And so when we hang out, it's just very interesting because, you know, I when I see the little flashing white person on the go sign, I go automatically go ahead and walk. And he's super cautious and will grab my arm and be like, you just assume that no one's coming, like, because, you know, that's always been your life. He's like, but you have to be careful and watch out. And people don't see us the same way. And that was my white privilege hitting me in the face, being like, wow, simple things as crossing the street. I take that for granted as how much privilege I have that no one's going to hurt or touch me or bother me, you know?
Yeah.
It was, I have a lot of empathy in situations. So whenever I see like the underdog, it makes me always just want to go up and fight for them or march with them or whatever I can to be like, this is not acceptable in any way.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care if you're a purple alien. I'm like, that's not acceptable.
Yeah. It's,
you know,
it is. And I think that, yeah, it is one of those ways that, you know, if you haven't grown up in a very racist society or, you know, environment, it is a different, unfortunately or fortunately, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
You know, but like, yeah, we didn't experience it growing up. There's also a character in the book that,
Elwood's best friend?
Yeah.
So we should talk about Elwood's best friend, Turner.
Yeah.
Because he plays a big part in the end, right?
Yeah. Yeah, spoiler. That's the twist.
Spoiler. If you're listening, spoiler.
Yeah.
So he befriends Turner really soon. Well, was it after the administration beat the, you know, the garbage out of him?
There you go.
And then so they become friends. And Turner always kind of sticks up for Elwood. And then at the end, you kind of find out Turner finds out like an inside that the administration has a plan to like kill Elwood or something terrible. So Turner is not going to have this happen. So he figures out a way to like hatch an escape plan for he and Elwood. And as they're escaping, one of the guards shoots and you find out that it is Elwood that actually gets shot. And Turner goes on.
And he takes Elwood's identity.
And he takes Elwood's identity in his next life.
So this
gives me chills just saying that.
Oh my gosh. So did I. We're such wimps. I just got chills also. So somebody did request that we say the name of the book again.
Oh.
Somebody's listening.
Oh my gosh. Yay. The Nickel Boys.
The Nickel Boys. And so that was the thing.
And who's the author? Colson?
Okay.
We're terrible hosts.
I know. This is what Colson Whitehead.
Colson
Whitehead.
The Nickel Boys by Colson Whitehead.
And so that was the. So you have this narrator in the book who is Elwood. And all the way through, about just towards that end, they're talking about escaping. All of a sudden, they mention him being shot. And it's like, wait, How did he get shot if he's narrating the book?
Right.
And they never, I thought this was just an amazing piece of writing myself, because he never does say, oh, you didn't, you know, like he doesn't bring attention
it's
to
that.
It's
not like, hello, this is what just happened.
Yeah.
You gotta pick it up.
You're just like, wait, what? And so then they start talking about his life now, and you realize, and he mentions how somebody told him he could get a birth certificate for a dead person and this and that. And he had assumed his identity. And that was kind of amazing.
How many times do you think that actually happened?
I don't know.
Because you see it like, you see things, and I know it's a movie and books and such, but you know, you see like Shawshank Redemption, or you read these stories, like it had to have happened. Like granted now with like DNA and all this stuff, how we, you know, like the testing, the forensics and testing have become so much, you know, more intense and factual. But like think back to like, you know, the 40s, 50s, 60s.
Okay.
That stuff happened.
Okay, I'm just going to say.
Do you know somebody?
No, I was just going to say that kind of a different, but just last week I saw a news story about two teenage girls, or, you know, young girls that were both unfortunately killed in a car accident, and their bodies were reversed. And the one parent had their daughter cremated, and the other's parents didn't realize it until after that had happened, that the bodies had been switched, and they had their wrong daughters.
Well, that is that's a doozy.
And they were African American. I mean, is this the kind of thing that still, I mean, did it have to do with that?
I mean, like to be a conspiracy theorist.
I know, right?
But when some things sometimes are so blatantly in your face about how certain groups of people are treated, it's really grotesque. And it happens. It's been happening a lot since someone, you know, unmentionable came into presidency. But we're not going to go down that route.
Okay.
Anything else you want to talk about with this book, April?
Well, real quick, I just wanted to say, and then this was interesting, that there was one character, a student. His name's Jamie, or Jaime, and he's half Mexican.
And, oh, right.
And they didn't know what to do with him. So
because they only had blacks and whites. So, yes. My gosh, what do we do with this Hispanic boy?
And the boys were segregated. There was a white. And they didn't really sound like, I mean, of course, the story was told from, you know, the African-American point of view, the black point of view, but they didn't really sound like the white kids were treated much better or anything.
No, it didn't. It was not like that kind of a place.
And, but so they had this Jamie who's half Mexican, and they kept shuffling him back and forth. They'd put him in the black dormitory for a while, and then they would move him back over to the white for a while. And he was really cool about it.
He's like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. They can't figure out what to do with me. He was really cool about it. That would probably, like, a lot of people would have a really hard sense of, like, their identity with that. And he was just like, whatevs. Poor kid. But we should talk about our next month's book, because last time we got sidetracked and
we did. What is it?
So we're going to go a much lighter note. We've been having so many intense books, since we started this show. So now we're going to do one a little bit lighter by David Sedaris.
And he drinks. So we're going to get a cocktail back in here next month.
All right. Yeah. We're going to read Calypso. It's a collection of 21 semi-autobiographical essays. So how he loves to write, and I've literally read his books and laughed out loud by myself. I love them.
Oh yeah, we're ready.
It came out May 2018, so you should be able to get it. I reserved my copy at the library already.
Yay.
So we'll be talking on a lighter note with about David Sedaris and Calypso next month.
Hey. Call right now, 963-0139. Say that you love Get Lit. Just say you like it. Just say that you listened. Okay?
Just say you listened. You heard us one time, or you've heard of us.
And donate to.
Or like if you've seen us downtown, be like, hey, I saw that April girl somewhere on Main Street. That would be rad.
And you know, up your membership, become a member, however it works for you. But support Katie and Kay. We love you.
Love you.